Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Thank you. I do covet your prayers. Please pray for me. I'll be doing a intercessors and pastors conference as well as a kingdom leaders conference. The Lord has just seen fit to open up the region to us and work with pastors and leaders and other churches across the region. So this particular trip, I think it's time to do that because our Gordon's Bay Church is in good hands and they're doing a great job. That's right. I'll be praying in Parliament as well. I've been invited to pray in the South African Parliament. It's so cool. I've traveled around the world and I have met governors, prime ministers, presidents, city officials. I've had the opportunity to pray all over the place with the most amazing people. You know, when the Bible says that kings will come and bow down before you, it is not false. I mean, I've literally had these men, these officials of these nations bow before me as I lay my hands on them and bless them and pray over them. It just, you know, and I remember the promise God gave me when I was a 15-year-old kid that this is the kind of stuff that God would do one day. And as I stand there doing that, it just blows my mind. I just go, wow, it actually came true. This is amazing. So I'm here today to encourage you, as you read through the Bible, as we're reading through the Old Testament, that the Old Testament is an incredibly relevant and incredibly powerful portion of the Bible for our lives. You might be going through the Old Testament as you're reading through it, and you might be going, what the heck is going on here? How is this relevant to me? What is this all about? And what I want to demonstrate to you today is the relevance of what happened right at the beginning with the first people of God to go through a major transformation, or maybe not the first people, but certainly one of the earlier groups of the people of God, to go through a major transformation, a change from being slaves to becoming wanderers in the desert and to ultimately becoming plunderers in the nations. As they went through this whole transition, it was an internal transition as well as geographical transition and a generational transition. It was a massive thing that was going on. And if you are not going through some process of transformation, some process of transition yourself, then you are stationary. And if you are stationary in God, that means you're going nowhere. And that is not God's plan for you. God's plan is that you move towards His plans, His purposes, His will for your life. Just like I shared when I was 15, God speaks to me a scripture and says, kings are going to come and bow down before you. Now, as a 15-year-old, you can get all sorts of ideas of what that might mean. But God moves me through the processes to qualify me to stand before kings, governors, prime ministers, senators, you name them, to stand before them and to be able to pray and speak a word and bring a word that unlocks their life, that brings clarity to them. I had to go through an enormous amount of transition, an enormous amount of transformation, an enormous amount of process to qualify to stand in that place. And that's what God is doing with us. He's qualifying us for what lies ahead, for the blessings and the good things and the promises that He gave us. He is qualifying us at the moment as we go through. How many of you know that, I don't know if it's still the case, but in my day, when you did an apprenticeship, the goal was that you would qualify as a tradesman. Is that still true today? Okay. I'm not so sure because I've had some workmen who I think have not qualified very well to do what they need to do. But I believe that is still the process. And so we are in the process of God qualifying us and getting us ready for what lies ahead. But as sure as the promise is, the journey could be filled with many potholes, with many stumbling blocks that could cause us to fall, to slip, to fall back, to give up, to become stationary. And my job today is to help you to get up and keep moving. Do we have the video ready to roll on potholes? Let's do it.
Eita porra! Sai daí, caralho! Corre, corre! Sai daí, mano!
Caiu a boca!
Eita, caralho, cuzão!
I used to work in a place in South Africa called the Transkei, and it was going through a process of degradation and falling apart, essentially. And we had a little joke that we would tell each other on the road. So when you're driving along and you see two little ears sticking out of a pothole, make sure you stop and help the donkey out of the hole. That's funny, you know. See, there can be some potholes that are pretty deep, and you can get lost down there, just like that dude lost his whole motorbike down a pothole. You can get lost along the way, and essentially these potholes are snares of the devil, and he works in partnership with specific demons to lock us up and bind us up in a situation so we can't move. That's why God, Jesus, came and said, I give you all authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I believe that is relating specifically to the power the devil could have over us to cause us to fall into a pothole and not move. Our job as the church is going to become one of bringing reformation to all areas of society and culture. We're going to change the foundation. It's many of our bastions of civilization, many of our things that we think are important, government, schooling, education, business, family, etc. It's been built on a very faulty foundation. And we as the church know the power of a good foundation. And we know what the right foundation is, the kingdom foundation is. And so that's our job. We're going to be taking that to the world and to every area of the world. Now, just over the last 2 weeks, in relation to Sandy's testimony, over the last 2 weeks, there's been a government-funded art program called Siren Song, the Siren Song. And at dawn, at daybreak every morning, and at sunset every evening, they would play through massive speakers that are set up through the city and reach a radius of 10 kilometers outside of the city. They would be playing songs where these sirens, these sort of fabled mermaid-type creatures who would lure sailors and ships to their death, they would be singing this song over the city. That's happened for the last 2 weeks. We've been praying and we've been saying, God, we don't want that over our city. There's a demonic plot that the devil has hatched to work through seemingly innocent vehicles like banks of speakers set up to sing an unknown song at daybreak and at sunset every day. But we, with the eyes of the Spirit, can see beyond that and can say, you know what? That isn't what it all seems. There's something more sinister at work there, and we need to counter that. We need to be praying against that, and we need to be mobilizing the church to sing our song over the city morning, noon, and night. That's why Jesus said that we would become a house of prayer that never sleeps. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Let the prayers arise. Why? Because we are the guys who bring the purposes of God to earth. And we release that through our prayers and through our singing. You saw the effect when Sandy asked for prayer. You saw the effect of what happened when the church began to pray. Even if it's just a handful of the church beginning to pray, it makes a significant difference right across the city. I say that because I want you to understand how significant you are. You're on a journey of transformation. You're incredibly significant. The devil knows that, and he's tried to set a pothole for you and I to fall into. But the Bible, the Old Testament, is really good because it shows us how to avoid these potholes. So we're going to get spiritual. We're going to get out of the flesh and into God. That's what worship was trying to accomplish this morning, and I thank the worship team for that. How are we going to become more spiritual? Well, we're going to ask for discernment. Lord, please give us discernment to know what spirits we are dealing with. We're going to ask for wisdom. Lord, please give us wisdom that comes from heaven, not just from our own intellect and from our own experience. How are we going to move spiritually? Well, we're going to ask for understanding. Father God, please open up your word so we can understand it and know what you want to do in our lives through it. And we're going to ask for revelation. God, please blow our little minds with the bigness of what you have in mind for us. If you agree with that prayer, you can say amen. So Numbers 22 to 25 is the story of Balaam, this prophet for hire, who the enemies of the people of God wanted to use him to curse the people of God and to destroy them. Now, this is Balaam and his donkey, or Balaam and his ass, as we grew up in church. This is one of those jokes that I need to just neutralize right at the beginning. Okay, this is the one time in the Bible where it's okay for a man to speak through his ass. And we won't go any further than that. We'll just leave it there. Joke over. We can move forward. Yes, everyone? Okay, amen. Praise God. So Balaam, the diviner, is a witch, is a false prophet, is a magician, is hired by the Moabite king Balak to curse the people of God. But he's restrained by God to do only what I tell you to do. I love that. You see, the devil doesn't have full control. God is in control. God is restraining our enemy. So you might feel like the devil is running rampant all over your life or all over culture. I want you to know he's not. God is in control. Despite the devil's schemes and the devil's attacks, or even the wins that he has from time to time in our lives, God is still in control, still watching over us, and still making sure that his word will be accomplished in our lives. You need to hold on to that, because you can see that through the story. So God reminds Balaam of his presence over Israel by making his donkey talk, and then by putting an angel in front of him, and of course speaking to him directly. I think that's a pretty good way of convincing a witch that God is in control. And if you're in a situation where the devil is using somebody to make your life a misery, you need to hand him over to God, or hand that person over to God. And you need to say, God, just like you restrained Balaam, I ask you to restrain this person that the devil is using to make my life miserable. Amen? I don't know if you've done that, but hand them over to God, because he's in control. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says this: that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Essentially, it means that whatever's been before is going to be again. Nothing is going to catch us by surprise, the Bible says. So what we're reading here is what happened before, and you can rest assured it will happen again. We don't have to be caught out by these new situations that the devil brings on our pathway. So the next morning, Balak takes Balaam up to Bamoth Baal, and from there he can see the outskirts of the Israelite camp. And he says, I want you to prophesy the doom over the people of Israel, the king says to Balaam. But of course, Balaam says, no, I can't do that. In fact, God wants me to bless them. But it's interesting that Balak takes Balaam to this place called Bamoth Baal. Baal is also Ra, the sun god. He's also Jupiter from the Roman and the Greek gods, which means the guardian and giver of all good fortune. Remember, what has been before is going to be again. It started out in the early days. Now we're way back in history, right at the beginning with the people of Israel, and they're encountering Baal. But the Egyptians, when they rise to power just a few centuries later, they call him Ra. And then a few centuries after that, when the Romans and the Greeks rise to their place of power, they call him Jupiter. Same God. Who is he? He's the guardian and giver of all good fortune. And that goes on to say in Jeremiah 19:5 that these people build the high places of Baal to burn their sons, their children, with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. They're sacrificing their children to this God. This is the guardian and giver of all good fortune, and he is demanding children as payment. Now, how is that relevant to us today, you might wonder? Because we can see all through history, he changes his name, he changes his shape, but essentially he's still the same demonic pothole that the people can fall into. There's a soft spot in humanity where we all want everything to go well all the time. Yes? How many of you want something to go bad? Raise your hand if that's you. I can't wait for everything to go to pot. I can't wait for tomorrow. It's going to be a disaster. Anyone? No. There's a soft spot in humanity where we all want everything to go well all the time. Is that how it goes? No. You see, the promise of heaven is a place of rest, a place of victory, a place that's pain-free, sorrow-free, a place of provision, a place of the fullness of our inheritance. Heaven is where everything goes well all the time. That's our hope. Here on earth, it is our job to bring the kingdom of God, heaven, to earth. To establish the kind of place where things don't go out of control, where things do go well. But this pothole is designed to remove the idea of God's provision and make us independent of God. You know what? I've got this career that I am devoting my life to. I am investing all my trust and all my hope in my education, followed by my job choice or my career choice, followed by the amount of money I earn in it. And everything will go well. I'll be able to buy myself out of any situation, is essentially the mindset going on. Is that true? Is that how most of us have been trained to think? Work hard, study hard, get a good job, you'll be set. Yes? There is no difference between us in this generation and any other generation that has gone on before. If that's your motive, if that's your motivation, if that's your desire, all I want is good fortune, you are in effect worshipping Baal, worshipping Ra, worshipping Jupiter. You are not worshipping the King. I mean, and worship is the direction of our whole life. It's not just a sing song. No, it's how we live our life. If you're living your life for good fortune, you're living your life before a false god. It's contrary to the life of the kingdom of God. This is a great big pothole. If you drive into this pothole, you will lose your kids. How many families have broken up at the altar of a career? How many children have grown up without a dad or without a mom because they're out working? This is not the way that it is in the kingdom of God. By putting a career first, you can lose everything that's important. But this is God's plan. He calls families to live and work for His kingdom. To put His kingdom first. And He promises that if you put His kingdom first, then everything else will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. This is a great big test of faith. This will decide the direction of your life. I know many, many Christians who have fallen into that pothole and they're sitting in church. They're in church, but Monday through Saturday, they are worshiping at the altar of a foreign god. And it's time that we expose that. We get spiritual about these things and we say, no, that is not God's plan. We're going to live for the kingdom first. And then it becomes a matter of, how do I take the kingdom of God into my career? How do I take the kingdom of God into my workplace and live for God in that place? Not asking you to give up your job. Did you hear me say give up your job? Anybody? No, don't fall into that pothole. That's called deception. Don't go there. I'm asking you to put the kingdom of God first, to dethrone the God of good fortune and make it about the King of Kings. The second pothole, it says in verse 23, verse 14, so Balak took Balaam to the field of Zophim on the top of Pisgah, and there he built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Pisgah is a Hebrew name for Mount Nebo. Nebo is the Babylonian god or the Roman god, Mercury. It's the god of wisdom, foretelling, and prophecy, and the god of secret knowledge. This is the pothole of the desire for knowledge and power. If you fall into this pothole, it removes your humility, your reliance on God's wisdom and God's desire for our childlike faith and trust in Him. It opens the doors to the occult, to magic, to New Age. It also opens the doors to drug use. This kind of worship is contrary to the life of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. You know, there was a season. Now, I want you to understand, this is what magicians, sorcerers, New Agers have used since the beginning of time. There's been a close involvement with drugs and the occult, because what it does is it opens doors in your consciousness so that you can experience, you can expand your consciousness. In the 1960s, there was a great big revolution, the hippie revolution. And hippies all over were taking LSD to have a mind-expanding trip, baby. And they would open themselves up and trip out and check out of the rat race and say, I found a higher plane of existence. I found a whole new level to live on. You know what? The kingdom of God offers that to us, but it's under God's protection. But this desire for something bigger than ourselves and for some kind of supernatural power and some kind of secret knowledge, it grips people, it grabs all sorts of people, and it gets people, this scheme, this pothole of the devil, gets people to look for God or for spirituality or for the supernatural everywhere but in Jesus Christ. As I said, it opens the doors to the demonic and to harmful addictions. Sorcery in the Bible is the same word as pharmakia. It's the Greek word pharmakia, which, how many of you can guess what pharmakia is a word in English for that? The pharmacy. What do you buy at the pharmacy? Drugs. There you go. Sorcery is in the same classification as drugs. And so we have a plague of drugs across our society. I don't know if you're aware of that. How many of you are aware of that? You know that's true. They have to drug test everybody all the time. There is a plague of drugs. People are selling out to this God for some kind of release, some kind of escape from the normal to the paranormal, to the supernatural, to the dulled out or vague sort of swirling mists of the mystery of the out there zone. They're buying into that. They're sacrificing their life to this foreign god. They're just like they did in the first people of Israel, just like they did centuries later with Rome, just like they're doing today, just like they did in the 60s. But God's plan is to invite people to live in the supernatural, spiritual kingdom of God. And this brings us under God's covering and protection while still allowing us to encounter the awesomeness of his supernatural nature. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. It says this, knowledge alone makes people self-righteously arrogant. But love that unselfishly seeks for the best for others builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. If anyone imagines that he knows and understands anything of divine matters without love, he is not yet known as he ought to know. You know what? If you want to sink it down to a base driver, pride is what is motivating the desire for people to find some kind of escape, some kind of new level of living. And the antidote for that is love. God's love. If we can come back to being motivated by an encounter with God, by meeting God, by knowing God in his love, I believe will be lifted to a higher plane of existence. I believe your heart will be touched. You'll be lifted up. You know, we sing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, that's the goal. We want to be lifted up out of the stuff that gets us down. And people try all sorts of ways to do that. They become the enlightened few. But we, the people of the kingdom of God, have found the source that lifts us up and seats us in heavenly places and gives us wisdom that comes from the ages, wisdom that comes from God. Don't you love that? I love that. You don't have to fall into that pothole. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. You know, I've hung around with drug addicts quite a bit when I was younger. I was a surfer, and most of the guys were smoking dope or taking all sorts of other drugs to try and enhance their life. And they would talk such a prideful way that they had attained this whole new level of existence. You know, they ran off to a town up the coast called Port St. John's and set it up as a drug haven. And many of my mates went up and lived there and basically lived stoned most of their life. But we would talk to them and they'd be like, man, we've found the way, man. Yeah, man, we're not hassled by normal stuff. Be like, yeah, well, I live in the normal world, but I'm attached to a supernatural God. And I don't need drugs to open that door. The third pothole, Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Baal Peor is the Egyptian and Indian eye of Horus, the god of protection, royal power, and good health. How many of you know about that little red dot on Indian people's forehead? Anyone? You know about that one? That's the symbol for the eye of Horus, the third eye. Okay? There's nothing new under the sun. This is the same kind of, you know, in the church for a long time we have not had demonology. You've not heard enough messages about the various demons that are in operation because they are ageless and timeless and they work in every generation and they work in every culture and every context. Their aim is to try and steal, kill, and destroy, to wrap people up in a way, in a trap that they can never get out of. So what I'm doing today is I'm talking to you about some very basic things in the spirit realm, and I'm hoping to expose it to you and show you that what was said in the very Old Testament is still very, very relevant today. It's the eye of Horus. Satan's scheme is to wrap you in fear and anxiety, to depend on medication because you're overwhelmed by your circumstances. That's the God of protection, royal power, and good health. That's what Horus does for you, apparently. But this is contrary to the kingdom life of faith. This is fear and circumstance-led living. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we will live by faith, not by sight." And in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:17, it says, "The righteous will live by faith." God's plan is to deliver us to a new reality, to free us to dream, to hope, to believe, to give us confidence as overcomers. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sound mind." I want you to know that all these potholes come as a quick fix. If you'll just focus on trying to meet your needs in a quick, instant, you know, alternative way, that's the lure of the devil. But God's invitation is to come into the kingdom of God, come through the process, and my promise that I gave you at the beginning will be fulfilled at the end. There are too many Christians who midway through the process fall into one of these potholes. A circumstance comes along that is bigger than us. I'm currently going through my own set of circumstances that feels bigger than me. And I'm having to trust every day and believe God every day for His power over my circumstances. I am in the middle of a process where every day I have to come before the Lord, every night, every morning I have to come before the Lord and say, God, I believe your word, your promise. I'm trusting you, God. I've been offered medication to deal with some of the stuff. They've sent me off to specialists and said, we can put you on meds. I tried that and I cannot live that way. And so I've chucked those and I've said, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm trusting God every day. See, because the God I serve is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that said, I'll meet your needs in the desert. He's the same God that says, I'll meet your needs when you're rebuilding the city from rubble. He's the same God that said, I'll raise you from the dead when you die on the cross. He's the same God that said, I'll birth you as a church and I'll see you take the gates of hell and you won't be beaten by anything. He's the same God who said that when you think it's all dead and gone, I'm going to come bursting through the clouds with a sword in my hand. I'm going to bring my rescue and my fulfillment to earth. You see, I believe in that God. I believe in the kingdom. And that's where I'm headed. I don't need to fall into a pothole. I don't need to try for a quick fix. I need faith to trust God in the process. And I'm here today as a living testimony to say, guys, If we're going to do this journey, you need faith to trust God through the process. You need your eyes opened to the schemes of the devil. Understand that what is happening to you happened to many other people along the way. Go read the Bible and you'll find out how they handled it or how they did not handle it. And you'll be able to learn from them and you'll be able to make it through your process. That's all we have time for today. God bless you. I'm off to Africa and I'll see you when I get back.